is hereby authorize the treasurer to remit payments to Belvoir Heights in the amount of $47,399 as requested in their letter dated October 7, 2024, offset the cost of engineering and architectural services incurred in 2024 to support the addition of 22 new private rooms, and further that all other resolutions previously deferred referencing this payment are hereby rescinded. Discussion? It's just unfortunate. I mean, we're referencing the letter, which is true, but not everything in the letter was actually correct. So we did specify that we were never really told, I don't think, that we had to keep it under. It was just money coming back into our coffers, not that we had to keep the special account for it and to repay it at some point. But that's their letter, that was their understanding, and we're referencing it. That's why I just want to make it clear that we're doing this to keep the project going, certainly, but I understand from listening to one Whitestone meeting that no, they probably have spent the money. One counselor said that they didn't reserve it for anything, but they'll have to look for it, I guess. Counselor Keckman?
There was never any discussion put this in reserve because we might want it back later.
No.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-016, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby authorized the use of the Council Chambers for the McKellar Market's 2025 Christmas Market to be held on Saturday, November the 15th, 2025. Discussion?
I'm not also thinking about that. December 2025.
All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
And you thought you were done with Christmas.
Yeah, really.
Oh. Flashback.
Resolution 25-017, moved to Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2025-01, being a bylaw to authorize the execution of a consent agreement with the Ridge on Lake Manitou, Inc., consent for parcel 27586, section SS, part lots 23 and 24, section 8, McKellar parts 11, 12, 13, and 14, 42R 16306, and part 11, 42R 14979, Township of McKellar, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council this 14th day of January 2025. Discussion? I'll read back the description of the property.
Well, I think the municipality should be covered in this anyway. It seems to make it perfectly clear that we're not taking any responsibilities. So,
yeah, the only thing that would concern me, if I can find it, talks about the subject land, subject property, which is everything, of course, not just the road lines itself. It was 8.2. Just the way it reads, there's a possibility that the township could be on the subject lands at some point. And all I can think of, I suppose, even though it's a private right-of-way, there are cottages in behind. If there's an emergency, we're not guaranteeing that the vehicles will get there, but I mean, it's something probably that the township would attempt to do. And maybe that's all that's meant by it, and our solicitors seem to be okay with this. But as you say, I think it's pretty clear that we have nothing to do with the maintenance of that road. I guess the other question was, put Carly on the spot here, the conditions prior to execution, have all the conditions been met? The one in particular I'm looking at is 2D, because the way I read it, there's still some outstanding amounts. Top-up deposit, 2208-87, so that's still outstanding.
Correct. So all the, like, if the bylaw was passed tonight, then we would wait to execute the agreement until fees came into the office. the agreement would be updated with any changes in ownership and company name as well prior to execution.
Okay, that sounds good. I noticed that they've signed it. So. Any other questions? All the questions then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-018, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2025-02, being a bylaw to authorize the borrowing of money to meet current expenditures of the Council of the Township of McKellar, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 14th day of January 2025. Discussion? I think that figure has been fairly standard over the years, and I don't think it's been called upon.
We did have a meeting a couple weeks ago with CIBC, and the treasurer did inquire if we were to increase that rate, what we would need to do. I don't think he's received a response yet from CIBC, but he is being proactive in looking into if that number needed to be increased,
okay,
what the next steps would be.
And that number was 800,000, I think?
Correct.
Yeah. You're right, it's been around for a long time, so maybe it should be increased, I don't know. All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-019, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-03, being a bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2025, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 14th day of January 2025. Discussion? Councilor Ryland?
I had a conversation with Roshan about item 7, which is on the back of the document, because frankly, the sentence, I guess it is, doesn't make sense to me at all, saying that the subsequent interim levy for the year, I mean, if I'm right, and I asked him this question specifically, he said, give me a minute, I'll call you back, and he did. The only interim one we have is the one that's, you know, payable on April the 1st.
What was the number of that?
Number 7 on the back.
7, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so anyhow, we went back and forth on this, and I said, you can't say that the payment collected on September the 1st is an interim one, because that would mean there was something after that. Now, I said to him, I said, I'm willing to bet that that statement has been every one of these resolutions that we've ever passed. I said, but unless you can make sense of it, we should either delete it in its entirety or at a minimum delete the word interim, right? Just so that it's clear that there isn't more than two payments that are required. He agreed to either of them, and I just said I'm okay that way too. I mean, either delete it entirely, or just delete the word interim. Right. So it's mostly semantics, but still, it's.
Councilor Kagan,
did he reference the municipal act where this statement is from? I think that's where we need to check first, is how it's written in the municipal act, because it does refer to interim tax levies.
But clearly we only have one interim tax levy.
Well, it does reference the municipal act here, so somehow the word...
Well, I would imagine that some municipalities collect payments more than twice annually, right? And I suppose in that case that would be valid to say that there could be, you know, multiple payments that are required, but in our case there's only two. I think my taxes in Aurora were collected 4 times annually, but I wouldn't bet my life on that, but I think that's true.
Well, we talked about it years and years back.
Yeah.
I guess some the area do that.
Because in that scenario, you would say that that's fair, although that statement would also have to be made if you were borrowing on the second and third installments. It just, like when I read it, I got to the bottom of the page and something clicked in my brain and said, wait a minute, what does that mean up there? So I read it again about 3 times and thought, I can't make sense out of that. So I phoned Brashan and he said, you know, give me a minute. I don't know, Mike, that he checked the municipal act, but you can't say that there's anything in that sentence that helps us. I mean, it's simply a case of saying, you know, change it so that it's clear that there's only one interim bill.
We did read section 317 today, the municipal act, and some further sections, and we couldn't really make sense of it either.
Yeah.
I think there's sometimes a confusion between a levy and installments. So, like, for instance, Whitestone, they only have two. They have the interim and the final, but they have four installments of payments. So we couldn't really foresee another situation where we would have an additional interim levy. He said maybe in the case of, like, you know, an earthquake or an act of God or something that actually physically stopped us from putting out the final, could you put a subsequent interim, maybe? But yeah, we kind of agreed that it may not be needed.
Anyhow, even the second conversation was fairly short, it was like a couple minutes. He was happy with just deleting the word interim, and I think that's probably the best solution,
mm-hmm.
just to make it clearer. Again, is any taxpayer actually going to read this? I don't think so. But and if they do, they won't understand it. But nevertheless, we could still fix it just to make it a little clearer. So.
Yeah, I would think too. When you check the municipal act, I suppose, but it's fairly generic, and then you can adapt that to fit your particular situation too. So. It's pretty hard for them to come up with wording that would cover all situations.
Yeah. And it's common sense. I mean, you know, we can't do this and then do it again later. That's just silly. So, but.
Okay, any further discussion on that? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-020, moved by Councillor Hassan, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-04, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2025, a first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council this 14th day of January 2025. Discussion?
Just pretty standard year to year.
Yeah, there was just a question of when it was going to be done, but Councillor Peckman mentioned it last year, but he's busy looking up something here. So, are you okay with this one?
Tax ratios. That one's set in the municipal act, but the tax rates. Yeah, that's set in the municipal act.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Yeah, resolution 25-021, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2025-05, being a bylaw to enter into an agreement with Simply Cast for notification software, first and second reading. Further read a third time in the past at open council the 14th day of January 2025. Discussion?
So what exactly is this currently?
So they provided me with their privacy policy, so I've attached that in the agenda package. I have asked for them to provide me a couple references, like municipal references. I'm still waiting on those, so if council wants to defer, we can wait until I have a conversation with a couple municipalities.
But what is it that they do?
It's the notification software. So it can be used for either putting out like emergency prepared warnings, fire readings, or email newsletter blasts. So it's a software that we would be using in-house to send notifications out to the public via email.
We have nothing like that now.
No. Yeah.
What's the cost of that?
It's free for 5 years.
Okay.
They're covering the costs of...
This is something we talked about
previously, yeah.
I guess it's open. Councilor Ryan?
I noticed at the beginning of the contract the pages aren't numbered, at least I don't think they are. It just refers to the Township of McKellar instead of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. document, if it's a, you know, a legal document or whatever, it should reflect our legal name, but again, it's nitpicky, but that's really it. And the other thing, I did go to their website and look. Presumably, they have information on what they would be telling, I think, our ratepayers when they wanted to sign up for this and how it works. And one of the things I was curious about, I couldn't find anything that told me, you know, what we tell our ratepayers or our customers, if you think of them like that, you know, what to do and how to do it. Is a ratepayer going to input their own information and or sign off and things like that when they do that? That's what I assumed.
Correct.
All along, but this document is almost entirely focused on us being the client, us the township being the client, whereas, I mean, in a different view, it would be the ratepayer that's actually the client.
Yeah, so to effectively use the software, obviously we need to collect the ratepayer's personal information.
Right.
So SimplyCast would help us with that. They would put a form builder on our website so people could go on, put in their information, and then click as to what notifications they would want to have.
Okay.
Maybe they don't want to get all of the information. They only want, like, stewardship and environmental committee emails. Maybe they just want fire ratings. So they kind of have the choice as to what they receive in their inbox.
So we would build a form with them, and then not with the...
They would build the form for us.
Okay.
We would house it on our website, and then the data would be collected by SimplyCast.
And the other thing I'm curious about, and I expected to see, especially when I was online, I didn't find, was... What's in this case, the ratepayer's interest to do this, right?
Just
like we take for granted that they would understand this is in their interest, and I would believe in that, but that's not the point. I know we have a lot of people here that are very resistant to change. So, I mean, that's a large part of it, too. We don't necessarily need it at this stage, but I would like to see something focused on our ratepayers being the real end customer, the end user, certainly, anyhow. So... I mean, I didn't have any issues. The only other thing I thought about, Carly, is on page 8. I don't remember how I counted. I just counted it manually, I think. No, there's the pieces at the back do have a page number.
Oh, within the privacy policy?
Yeah, one of the things I was wondering was in terms of privacy, I can't find it right now. I don't know. I know I highlighted it, but I don't know where it is. But anyhow, I was just going to say, if we could get Near North Business Systems to look at this from a privacy point of view, and there's some technical considerations here,
sure.
And I don't know, but personally, if this was up to me, that's what I would do is ask for an opinion from them about what SimplyCast has been saying in here. That's all, right? And again, and maybe they would say no, we don't have an interest, or no, we don't care. But hopefully they would, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, because it is an additional software within the township's IT, so no, it's a great point.
That's really it. I mean, and again, this is fine because in this case it's between us and them, but I mean, I'd like them to show us what they're going to do for the ratepayers,
mm-hmm.
right? And they must have a package that they make available so people can see it, right?
Yeah, and I've sat through their demo, and
okay.
they've shown me what...
Because that's what I hoped to find when I went online, but I couldn't find that at all. Because again, they're selling to the township; they're not selling to our ratepayers.
Right.
But anyway,
Councilor Zula.
So that's strictly volunteered for the ratepayers.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. That was my other concern with the all this information, though, and that they'll have access to. But if it is, you know, up to the individuals. Whether they sign on or not, somehow we have to get out to the public that that's the situation, that we're not forcing them into it. We're not presenting information from the township that they don't want released. What comes to mind here now is very recent power schools, just an example, and I draw the parallel, maybe it's unfair, but all kinds of throughout Canada, even through the U.S., they went to a third party to have all this information. It's all of it. It's been hacked. And it was available student information, not so much staff apparently. But my concern is that the same sort of thing could happen here, especially when I read on number 4, this is page 3 of 13, section 3, each party shall defend, indemnify, and hold the other party harmless from and against any and all claims suffered or incurred by the other party at any time or times. So we defend the company. That's a little frightening. Something that they do, and then they get sued or whatever, we'll defend them. We hold them harmless. worries me, that whole policy. And I know, you know, it may be easier to do this the email out to various people than let them know, but I think the way our fire chief was talking, he's got methods of contacting people. I think there's a new system he was working on. And as you say, we have a lot of private information individuals for their taxes goes out to them. So I'm not sure we need a third-party company coming in who would have access to all of this information. As you say, it's up to the individual to repair, but they may not know what they're getting in for either. And I know it's free, but that's the toe of the door sort of thing.
Well, I recall from the earlier presentations they had quite a number of municipal clients. I don't remember the number.
Yeah, primarily in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, and
yeah.
They're just trying to get into the Ontario
yeah.
municipal market now, and that's why they're offering it to free.
So the stuff I was talking about earlier was on page 8, which I said, the security and integrity of information. This is these two paragraphs, and I guess it goes on to the next page too, that I was going to ask Near North Businesses, and could they look at that and give us an opinion on that. But yeah, to go back to your point, you know, the earlier statement where we're going to defend them, really, right? But
and I think besides the our own internal system, I'm thinking it's almost like, and I don't want to spend the money on it necessarily, but the legal opinion on it, should we be doing it to a company like this who's trying to get the foot in the door, say, in Ontario? I couldn't find, unless it's somewhere else online, municipalities in Nova Scotia that are using it. So, if they are, they're not very public about it.
Yeah.
I know it's one of the options we can click through, local government sort of thing, and you can go, but it doesn't really show you anything. And I've read quite a few of the testimonials. Most are positive, but there are some awfully negative ones there, quite lengthy ones, and I don't know what happened with them.
One of the other questions I wrote down just for me was, and this comes from banking where we shared information with suppliers and things, and we had a very long statement about who owns the data. In other words, it's us, not them, right? So, I mean, and I know they cover that in here too, but that's still not the point. Is it's our data, and by simply saying that, then we've established that it's ours, not theirs, and therefore they can't sell it. And I know they cover that here, but still. It's not described in here because I looked at it right from the beginning and thought, well, I'll just keep reading and maybe it's somewhere else in here. But it's well, it's not a hugely long document, but it's long enough. And the information at the back, I assume, about who our account manager and stuff would be there when it's assigned, kind of thing. But
mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should defer till we do get more information from other municipalities and other options, whether there is other companies or is this something that a municipality could do themselves, send out in a tax bill saying, do you want to be notified of the recreation events or what fire department, how do we say from the fire department, you know, could something like that be done internally without going through a company?
Councilor Craig? Previously, our previous website service provider provided that option. There was a link at the bottom, like a SMS feed, that if you wanted to have information regarding something, then you would be added to the list, and whenever that information was sent out, it would be sent out to everyone that signed up for that.
Okay, so maybe Carla could look at that, the IT.
When we were talking to Jennifer earlier, you mentioned we have, I don't think you mentioned a number, but we have a number of email addresses for some?
We do, but it's just for property tax mailings, so I would reach out to those people again and get their permission to send them anything other than property tax bills.
Do you know how many we have?
I'm not sure.
Even a vague guess?
No.
Like 200?
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, okay. And it's just kind of background. I was trying to work through that, and I knew this was on the agenda. I figured Jennifer would ask about it, but, you know, we can share this, although it's, again, it's not very helpful for the end ratepayer, this information, right? So,
do you think it may be helpful that Council of Simply Cast came and did a deputation, and then they could kind of show the platform online
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
I think it would lay a lot of, I don't know if it fears, but a lot of, you know, concerns or comments or how does this work, right? Because that's kind of what I expected to see, but I never came across it. And then I thought, well, I'll go to the website and look. Well, again, there, what's on their website is a sales pitch to the municipality, not to the to the end user. So.
Yeah, and the end user isn't seeing the interface we see, so
Yeah, I suppose it's the same with anything that you sign up to a third party. They can be hacked.
Yeah.
It's happened in different companies, and I'm sure they can't give any assurances that they won't be. They'll put everything in place that it can't be done, but then it happens. And so, I mean, a presentation would be good, yes, but whether they can answer that question, I don't know. Now, they would do that through a Zoom link, I assume.
Correct, because they are from Nova Scotia.
In any special snowmobile days? them up. So you're suggesting
we defer it.
Hoskins, you defer this? Or?
I'm thinking we'll get more information.
Is that okay with Boomer and Secretary? Okay, so got deferred, call the vote then. All those in favor of deferral? It's carried then, for deferral.
Can you ask Near North in the meantime? Yeah,
I will.
Just
yep.
For whatever, and they might say it's too much work for them. Maybe they'll give us greater permission. Maybe they know something about it. So,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Resolution 25-022, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, hereby give bylaw number 2025-06, being a bylaw to authorize a loan guarantee for the Board of Management for the District of Parry Sound West, home for the aged, welfare rights. First and second reading, further read a third time and passed the open council the 14th day of January 2025. Discussion?
It's Councilor my Ryan. Day to be nitpicky on words. The third paragraph here where it says, whereas section 10, blah, 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 and then at the bottom of that section it says to boards under their jurisdiction. I mean, are they technically under our jurisdiction? I don't know if that's a proper term. It's probably consistent with what maybe other townships did, but in my simple mind, that they are not under our jurisdiction, right? But
well, the board exists because of the councils. I mean, they put people on it. The board can't do anything of its own, in a sense. It has to go back to municipalities. Now, what Don had said earlier, councils aren't always kept informed of what decisions a board's making. The representative is back, but as Councilor Zulak noted, she has one vote of many. It's not as bad as the pool, 1/12, but there's a situation where the councils are ultimately responsible for what the board does, and the board really can't, theoretically anyway, act without the township's approval. We are the owners of that building, along with the province, of course, because when the welfare board transferred to DSAB, we found out very quickly that the province owned most of the buildings or parts of them. They'd given money to it, so it wasn't straight to the new DSAB. The province stepped in and said, no, that's ours. We'll take a portion of that. So the same sort of thing here. The province pays, the bulk of the Belvedere facilities, and municipalities pay a certain amount. So we're not the only owners as such. I'm not sure what the wording.
I'm not fussed about it. I mean, I don't want to make a case out of it. It's just that it struck me as being an odd word. So, and if I read it backwards, I mean, it does say municipalities, period, plural. So I guess when you look at it that way, it would be valid. But
my only concern about this one is that I said they're all piling up there, and I think we should certainly have a long conversation with our treasurer. He's saying it's low risk, yes, and it'd never be called upon, etc. But that's just when it is called upon. And as I read, as I said before, we're responsible for all of the other partners as well. So if something happens there, we're responsible for the entire debt as one municipality. That concerns me. I don't know how that situation would arise, but if it could, it might. And so that's my concern, and I don't know if all of this has to be done right now. There's so many things floating around out there that why can't this be put on hold as far as expectations from the municipalities, even though it is low risk, because we're so involved in debentures. And we have another one be coming from debenture request from Belvedere. 26th, next year. And so we'll be responsible for that as well. And I'm just not sure if this is a good time to be doing it. But anyway, that my say.
Paragraph number four, this is a concern that especially Mike was bringing it up, and it reads, go down to the third line, or the board requires a line of credit and term loan financing options to purchase life lease units that cannot be sold on the market. Okay, and that's kind of the goal. And then, but it then also has, and to manage capital and operating needs. Is that kind of the idea, or is that touching on what you're saying, Mike, where they could just spend the money anywhere besides the purchasing of the leases? So if that is a concern, could that and to manage capital and operating needs be taken out? Is this a standard bylaw that every municipality is? None of them?
Yeah, I didn't write this one. This was circulated by
right.
the board to all the municipalities.
And already, what, five have already signed on with that in there. And, you know, probably the present board has all the best intentions in the world kind of thing, but you don't know in 5 or 10 years what kind of board could be on there and say, oh, we have that big line of credit, let's...
That's why I suggested
go bananas.
You have that something worded in there that it'll only be specifically for life lease.
So Marty, if I'm right, you're saying to delete the words and to manage capital and operating needs?
Yeah.
Correct.
But leave the rest where it says and the board does not currently have a line of credit?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
true. So yeah, if we want to take that out.
Would that be sufficient from your point of view?
Well, that's my concern is that it's spent on other things,
yeah.
not on the life lease. That's my concern, is that it's spent on other things.
Councilor Carter?
And particularly when they want a $4.5 million line of credit, and he indicated, oh, we won't even come close to using half of that. Well, why would we give you a $4.5 million line of credit? Doesn't anyone have to convince you they actually need something before you give them something? It wasn't convincing to me, so I can't support that, where someone comes and says that, just in case, and, you know, there's no limitation on what we can spend this on. Ostensibly, it'll seem like it's going to be for life lease units.
And then, as you said, Morley, who knows in 5 or 6 years a different board.
Or next year.
Really, you know.
Yeah, because Don may even not be on the board in a few years. And
yeah, well, people change, and then their whole thought change, right? And they want to need money, might use it for something else, right?
It might start getting used to offset, operating needs in your... You're creating this big debt to finance your operating, which really, realistically, that's kind of a sneaky way of using the taxpayers' money without just coming out front and saying, we need to up your taxes because it's costing us much to operate the home. So for that reason, that money shouldn't be used for operating needs. Now, unless they're talking about managing capital and operating needs as part of, I can't see it, though, of purchasing those lease units. So,
especially when the new build is going on, too, at the same time, the 22 beds.
all of a sudden, money's getting shifted around in our line of credit's building. And I went through this in my own personal life, had a really big line of credit at one time, and you think, well, that's nice to have. It really is, and that's the way Don's thinking, just in case. Something happens. Well, a lot of just in cases seem to come along and not all that important kind of thing. So luckily I kept it under control, but you could see how easy it could just spin out of control.
That's how credit cards work.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know. Do we throw that out there, that clause in, and if that makes us happier? And
well, you're still dealing with this $4.5 million when he admitted that, he can't even
can see it coming close to needing half of that in over 10 years.
And that's what the bank is suggesting, right? Because it's easier for them. That's what he's saying. It's easier for them to go with the 4.5 instead of coming back every year. Well, maybe he should approach them and see what it would be like to go for $2 million or something like that instead of all that.
Something that may seem reasonable, because
yeah,
if there's only one or two units coming
sold
online
year
every year,
yeah,
it's $500,000 a year.
And then I have a problem it's not even with the money. I have a problem with the life lease units that they rent. Are they rent, like, apparently those people that are in them now expect seniors to be coming into them. So are seniors going into them? Because can you eliminate or whatever by age when you're renting?
I think at one meeting it was discussed there were people in there that aren't seniors.
That's right. So see, I have a problem there with that type of thing.
So
I brought that forward because a lawyer has said that you can't
discriminate
for age.
Yeah.
And here we are, we're thinking we're subsidizing or aiding for senior citizens to have a place, you know, a home to be in, and it's not for that.
When you get someone beside you. Wow. Well, that's not what they signed up for, that's the thing. So I don't know. But that's besides this.
Is this ever going to fly?
Well, I'll put it out to a vote. I don't know whether you want recorded vote or...
Yeah, do a recorded vote.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Kekkonen?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
No. Mayor
David Moore?
No.
Okay, so 2 yeas, 3 nays, defeated. Unfinished business, any comments on that?
So regarding the information session for various pavement products, is there something lined up for that? Or
when is council available? Or when would you like to meet in February?
Now it's February. Here it's at January 13th.
Yep, so now it's
20th.
February. So they said that they are able to attend a regular meeting, so either the 4th or the 18th, but our deputation part on the agenda only allows for 10 minutes, and he said, depending on the length, it could be half an hour to an hour, so I didn't know if council would prefer to have a special daytime meeting at some point, or if you just want a shorter presentation attached, like within the regular meeting.
Sorry, this is for...
For the service treatment presentation from
Miller. Oh, okay.
Miller and Davenport?
Well, I don't think we could probably facilitate both in one night. So we can start with Miller and then do Davenport after.
If we don't have a lot of closed session discussions in the next few council meetings, I would suggest to try to arrange prior to a council meeting or an earlier council meeting, whichever.
Probably the hour presentation.
Yeah, that's what they're guessing, about an hour. So I can have it within either the 4th or the 18th, if that works.
Just to clarify, that an open, or is that a closed?
It would be open.
Open. So
yeah,
it's open, okay, because they're not bidding on any particular.
No, it's information for us. And
but do they give away their own trade secret sort of thing if they come to a session as well? I mean, are they treated as developers in a sense? I mean, looking to get a future contract.
they're treated like simply cast is gonna be treated when they come and give their presentation. We're just listening to the information that they that you can go on their website and gain that information, or you can
and they filter the information they give out if they feel it's given the competition an advantage.
Well, the one thing that I had in mind, and that's what coming at this time of year makes it difficult. I thought originally we were going to ask them for suggestions on our roads, but I guess we won't be doing that.
I guess not now. An inch of snow packed up.
Yeah. But that to me made all kinds of sense. What do you recommend for these particular roads and what we should be doing? But I guess that's if that's not part of it, then I would think that yeah, it could be open as long as they're aware of that, that everything they say is open to the public.
And just talking to them, that's how they make their presentations, is that it's information that anyone would be interested in and is available to anybody.
And then we could, after the presentations, we could instruct their company to maybe meet with Tom and look at certain roads, you know, continue the process. And by that time, everything should be melted off the roads. By a couple of years, maybe even.
Yeah, it's a tough call because, as I say, they'll be the ones bidding on it. What they recommend, and obviously they have a vested interest in what they're recommending. However, I guess that's all you can do.
Maybe during their presentation they will give sort of different scenarios of what the road surface currently, what they would recommend for certain road surfaces. It's probably part of their presentation anyway, so.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Councilor Ryland's mentioned this. If there are roads need study, should be some information for them, and that's public. We could pick out certain ones, I guess, and see what they think from the description of, well, I guess, who did the roads needs, was that Tatum?
Sorry?
Who did the roads needs study, was that Tatum? Or,
yes.
Guess,
yeah,
okay.
So
that might be more information for them. The actual road itself would be the best, but. Anything else for unfinished?
Well, are we picking a date?
I might suggest February 4th just because we have council meetings back to back, so the agenda on the 4th shouldn't be as heavy, so that may give them a bit more time in the evening.
Yeah, the 28th is pretty close there. So.
The only 1 week between the council meetings. Eh? That's depressing.
Well, I didn't hear anybody on council complaining about the extended Christmas.
Ooh, was that in 4 weeks? That was a nice break.
New business. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committee reports.
I have an inquiry. So for Friday, for the Near North.
Yep.
So... It says on there, can you do it on your phone? Do I have to be by my computer?
Yes, so if
okay.
You can be available by phone so that they can remote into your computer, then they can do the email migration.
So just on my flip phone, I can?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, as long as you're home and have access
to
your computer.
Oh, I have to be home with the computer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm getting at.
And you have to be able to follow instructions.
Okay, Dave. Dig.
I'm sure they'll be mentioning what things you should be doing, which keys you should be doing.
Or alternatively, they can visit your home if you wish.
Well, what do you think? You've dealt with me on the computer, so you know. So it's probably better if they come to my home?
Sure. Yeah.
You're thinking?
I don't know. No, I don't think it should be that involved. And I'd like to do it remotely. But
it'll be about 15 minutes. Shouldn't be too long.
Well, if I can't, I can do it remotely, and if I can't, then they can come,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, because all their staff will be here.
Okay. So do we not have a time?
Unfortunately not. Yeah. No.
You have to have the whole day open.
Yeah. If you can let me know, maybe if you're available in the morning or in the afternoon, we can set that up, but yeah.
Okay.
So technically, if we individually saved all of our emails from Gmail, there wouldn't be any need for email migration. They would just be setting up a new Outlook account?
I'm not sure the technical aspect of it, but yes, that is the exercise, is to save all the previous emails, so when your new email is on Microsoft 365, they can migrate the old ones to the new interface, so you haven't lost any emails.
So this process is not required. If an individual were to save their own emails, then there's no need to migrate the emails.
Correct. So when we're on Office 365, then you would just get the emails from this coming Friday on, and you wouldn't have any previous emails in your inbox.
So it doesn't matter how old your computer is or anything?
No.
Or
no.
You can get 365.
And that won't interfere with anything else, you know, your other email accounts?
I don't believe so, but Near North will be here all day to ask questions and take everybody through it. So.
That's my concern, that you start switching over. I've been getting messages all along, too, to switch to 365, and we haven't done. Now, they suddenly do it with one of my accounts. How does that affect the others?
And then if, you know, this is kind of a good exercise in that if council, you know, wants to have some separation between their personal PCs and laptops, then potentially maybe be looking to get council laptops or iPads so that you can access township business on a township-owned device. That would be passed on between terms.
Well, I'm sure I could not put Office 365 on my laptop because it's a Chromebook. And I guarantee you 1,000,000% you cannot load a Microsoft product on it of any kind. But I rarely ever use it for any council business. I mean, everything else I do on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm sure I can manage on my phone, or they can manage on my phone, but I had tried many ways to put Office 365 on my laptop. It just won't work. So,
okay.
So how's that going to go then this Friday?
What's that?
Like, so that's the whole exercise here, is setting up a 365 email account, or
Outlook.
Taking anything that comes through the your current Gmail account, like the mckellar.ca.
Well, right now, I mean, because Dan sent it up that way, I mean, I use Bluemail, which is I've never heard of before. I use it, and all my council emails come through Bluemail, but I mean, ultimately, if I open that, it opens in Gmail. But so, I mean, that part we could do, but it wouldn't affect my laptop at all.
But he's migrating everything to 365, and if you can install it on your computer.
Well, I mean, I could just as well say that I don't have one, and in a material way, that's true. I'm not making that up. I don't use my laptop for council business because, frankly, it just doesn't work.
Maybe worth calling Alan, just having a conversation with
sure.
him prior to Friday.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to do that, and maybe he has a solution I don't know about,
yeah,
but I've had some techie friends that know a million times more than me, and ultimately just told me, just give up, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I think that, you know, the township supplying the computers is a good idea, because, you know, having Cybersecurity 101, don't let anyone access your computer, and here we are letting this guy come in and control our computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my concern, that what's it do to the rest of your system? Because whenever you put a new program in, it says it's going to interact with and change whatever you have already, and you can allow that to happen, and you'll have to say yes.
Well,
so.
I don't want that, because I got a lot of crap on there that if I lose, I'll be losing my head.
Well, is it an option for just don't touch any of our personal stuff and we all get a laptop supplied by the township and that's what we use for?
I think it was an option for Whitestone. I think they actually did something like that recently where they purchased.
Yeah. Well, McKellar Township did that last term. Some had their. Well, I was given a laptop to use for township business. I don't know how the. If that was all proper or anything, but I ended up with a laptop to only for township business, and it was kind of nice. That
so
way
do you still have it?
No. Yes, I do. Somewhere in a scrap pile.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's who knows all sorts of information
oh.
there. But then, it, yeah, and information on, because right now my computer has all the township information and my personal,
yeah.
And anybody that wants to hack into me, they can get all of that information, any of it at all. So, you know, I just think it's got to be more risky. So.
Yeah, it benefits the township if counselors are to use a township-owned device, because we can't control personally what you have on your computer for ransomware or antivirus and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a township-owned device, we can constantly be updating it to make sure that it is up to snuff with security. Al has tons of examples of other municipalities that, you know, they've been hacked through their personal computer using a township email,
mm-hmm.
and then it just spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
So,
well, write a motion that they purchase laptops for the council members and load them up for us and give them to us.
Okay, I'll.
It's probably the simplest way to do it. It's also the most expensive, but I mean.
Well, I can ask Al for some different options and price points, because he said even he can get refurbished ones and whatnot, so I can get some figures for sure.
So then Friday's off?
Not necessarily. I'll have to have a conversation with him, because the staff need to be moved over too, and like he has purchased the licenses for Microsoft 365, so now we are paying for it. So the longer we put off migration, the longer we're paying for something
sure.
we aren't using. So
can he do the staff and then leave the others until?
Apparently not, because you have to close down the full Google interface to go over to 365, but perhaps we could delay it by a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the other thing, that emails wouldn't be available.
Correct.
Just the ones to on that account, right? Not all the others.
Okay. Yeah, there won't be any emails missed, because he's doing a bit of a overlap, so once the old emails are done, the new ones will be going onto the Microsoft 365. So there shouldn't be any missed emails.
I will tell you, just as a word of caution, that the last 3, maybe 4 years that I worked, I had a bank laptop from a million years ago and got new ones all the time. But when they brought in a corporate policy that dealt with all the same kind of issues for the same reasons, and what happened at that time that nobody noticed, including me, was that when they came along and I was retiring all of my personal emails, because it was a bank-owned laptop, I could not do anything with at all. I couldn't forward them, I couldn't copy them, I couldn't do anything at all. So, and the same thing with pictures. I had, I don't know, thousands of pictures anyhow, because when I traveled I took pictures of things. And they all disappeared too, and I couldn't move them and so forth. I mean, I knew 12 months before I retired that I was retiring, and so I brought this up to them, and basically the answer was, too bad, right? So I could see them on my laptop while I still had it, but then when I had to return it, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would be a concern for me, not for me because I don't have those things on my laptop at home, but for others it could be a big problem, right? And we'd want to be sure. I'll ask the question, I mean, if that happens, what happens to my personal documents that have nothing to do with the municipality?
Right.
But it was a big issue for people my age, of whom I worked with. It was a big issue for everybody. So it's just a caution. And I learned the hard way, and there was lots of pictures I wish I still had. I don't. So
you said he's already paid for the license for that?
Yeah, because
yeah.
He had to buy them ahead of time to get things set up, so, but I don't think there's any harm in delaying a week if he's agreeable, so
well,
we can have a conversation with him tomorrow.
We paid for 2 internet connections for a year, so paying for something for an extra week or 2 or 3 is part of the process.
Yeah.
If you want to get it right.
I have no objection to having a township laptop and following whatever it is we're supposed to do. And I have no objection to trying to move things, but I guarantee you I can't use any Microsoft product on my laptop.
Okay.
At all, so. But like I said, I don't access it that way anyway. Everything's on my phone. So. But again, if they were to do that and that was to cause problems where I couldn't access my personal things, that would be a problem. But, and because I've got experience, I've got nasty letters that I wrote to the bank president and told him all these things, but anyway, the answer was still no. So,
so you won't be looking for another job there.
Sorry,
you won't be looking for another job.
No,
nasty letters. Well, I think it's a step towards, we talked about before, the paperless meetings even, so if everything's on the laptop, yeah. I mean, all these documents, I know Councillor Kekkonen looking forward to that, so.
Well,
no one's required to have go totally digital if that doesn't work
yeah.
for them.
But it is an option, yes.
It's an option.
Yeah.
I think it's an improvement, I think it's required from a security point of view. I don't have any doubt about that stuff, I mean, I buy that. But it comes with its own warts anyhow,
yeah.
So.
Okay, any other committee workshops?
Just one thing else. Okay. So I do have a CPAC meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. at Nobel Community Hall, and there's a link on the township website to the agenda for that meeting.
And a Zoom link?
These are in-person meetings. So
okay.
This is the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board meeting, 7 p.m. In Nobel.
And this is where you choose a chair, or you have
that's already done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I respectfully decline. So.
No, I know you've been working hard on this, so I'm yeah, trying to get it going. Well, that's good. The link on there, then. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, to the consent agenda, resolution 25-023, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of Township of Cutter has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from them? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Any questions, comments from members of the audience, in person, on Zoom? Deal with items on the agenda. Hearing none. Resolution 25-024, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, is hereby give bylaw number 2025-07. A bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council this 14th day of January 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 25-025, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that council of the corporation in Township of Cutter adjourn this meeting at
8:42 p.m.
Meet again on January the 24th, 2025, for a special meeting of council to present the draft 2025 operating budget, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question.